Death is a mystery. It's often a fearful, traumatic event. Religions offer a variety of explanations, but they often contradict one another. Is it possible to understand just what death is? Are we immortal souls? Are we conscious after death? What is the truth? Are we destined to go somewhere to experience some form of reward or punishment? What about reincarnation? What is really going to happen when we die?
Welcome to the Good News Program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. The Good News doesn't try to cover up today's problems. This is a program that dares to look at today's dilemmas and ask the questions that must be asked. It seeks the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. Please join Gary Petty for a discussion of today's Good News subject.
Welcome to the Good News Program. My name is Gary Petty, and I will be your host on the program. I have invited a guest to join me today. He is a pastor for the United Church of God. Welcome, Steve Myers.
Good to be here.
You know, one of the biggest questions of life, the greatest mystery, what is death? Can we know or even understand what is death?
It's a huge question. It's certainly a mystery to the world as people contemplate death. They go through that experience with their families. And it's a big one. It's a big one. We're all sure. Death and taxes, we know they're all going to happen. And if you're going to try to find out what it's all about and try to solve the mystery, you've got to go to the mystery solver, the book that describes the solution to the problem, and that's the Bible. You've got to go to the truth of the Bible if you're going to answer that kind of question. And it's interesting, right at the very beginning, God deals with that problem in the Bible. If you look back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 19, God describes exactly what you are. He says, we are dust, we're made from dust, and to dust we'll return. And so there's no doubt, we're born, we age, and we die, and we return to dust, is the way the Bible describes it.
But I think, you know, most people, especially with a Christian background, but even if they're Islamic, if they come from a Judaism background, they've been taught that the soul leaves the body and continues to live in some kind of everlasting state. What does the Scripture, what does the Bible say about the soul?
Well, it says a lot about it. One of the interesting things, the very first place that the word soul is mentioned is right back in the book of Genesis again. It's in Genesis 2:7. And in that particular passage, it once again it says, God formed man from the dust of the ground. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. That's what it says in the King James Version. Now, it's also interesting, that word is the Hebrew word nephesh. And that word is translated a little bit differently in the King James, the New International Version, and the NRSV as well. That version says man became a living being, and probably a little bit more accurately describes what a soul is. It's a living being. And so it makes it a little bit clearer.
Okay, but a living being, it equals soul.
Well, that's what everybody immediately thinks, okay. In the sense that, well, I have a soul, and I'm going to live forever. But see, God says it's a living thing. It's not something that necessarily carries on after you die. And so there's a little bit of a disconnect.
Okay, but then that really brings us to a difficulty. Okay, and especially, I mean, no matter what Christian background you've come from, and that is, I am a living thing, but if I am a soul, doesn't that mean I am immortal? I am an immortal soul.
Right. And that's where the confusion comes in, doesn't it? Where people say, well, I am a living soul, and that soul is going to live forever. But that's not what the Bible describes it as. Ezekiel 18:4, God says, all souls are mine. And then he goes on to say the soul of the Father as well as the soul of the Son, and says the soul that sins shall die. And then he goes on a little bit later in Ezekiel 18, verse 20, says the soul that sins shall die. So there you have a little bit of a paradox again. Okay, if I'm a soul, and I think I'm immortal, but here the Bible's telling me exactly the opposite, that the soul can die. And so that same word in Genesis is the same one that's back there in Ezekiel as well, where Ezekiel prophesied about the soul dies. And so it's something different than what traditional Christianity makes us believe and what they teach. And so you get this little disconnect, I think, from what people believe and what the Bible actually says. In fact, there was an interesting quote I ran across in the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia. What it says there is that we're influenced by Greek scholars from the past. Everybody's heard of Plato. And one of the ideas that he came up with hundreds and hundreds of years ago was this idea that a soul lives forever. But what the encyclopedia says is this. He said that the body dies, yet the soul is immortal. But the encyclopedia says such an idea is utterly contrary to the Israelite consciousness and is nowhere found in the Old Testament.
Now, you're saying that, and these are, of course, leading theologians, leading biblical scholars from a Christian background, and they're saying in the Old Testament there's no concept of what we accept as the immortal soul.
Absolutely. You can look up in history. You can look up in the history books. This whole idea, the concept that the soul lives forever, it's an ancient belief, but it's not in the Bible. You won't find it there.
Of course, now we have a couple of questions. What is death? What does the New Testament say about the immortal soul? But we're going to come back to that, okay? We're going to tell you about a booklet that talks about this very subject. We'll be right back.
What happens after death? This is one of the great questions of life. What happens when we die? Is death the end of human existence and consciousness? Or do we continue in some other place or state of being? Do we go to a place of everlasting reward or eternal punishment? Will we ever see our deceased loved ones again? Is there somewhere you can go to find these answers? Yes, there is. Call right now, 1-800-966-9232, for our free booklet titled, What Happens After Death? Find out the astonishing, true biblical teaching about life after death in our enlightening 64-page booklet. There is no cost or obligation. Call 1-800-966-9232 for your copy. All material on this program is provided as a public service by the United Church of God, publishers of the Good News magazine. Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. All literature on this program is provided free as an educational service in the public interest by the United Church of God. It is absolutely free, and there is no charge or obligation. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The magazine is free. The contents are priceless. The number again is 1-800-966-9232. Or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org.
And we're back with Steve Myers, and we're talking about death. Now, there's a lot of superstitions, there's a lot of kind of beliefs about death. What it means, what happens, where do you go. It's interesting, there's a lot of movies about it, television shows, about angels who have people, or supposedly people who died, went to heaven, they're sent back to earn their wings, you know, do good deeds. Mm-hmm. Most people believe, of course, you die and go to someplace, a place of rewards, a place of punishment. What does the Bible say about that?
That's the amazing part. I think one of the reasons those things are so popular is because we're interested, because we don't know. People aren't sure what happens, and it's mysterious. You know, well, we're dead. Do we go on? Do we not?
It's frightening.
It is. It's a scary thing, and people aren't sure where to turn. Now, if they want to open their minds and open their Bibles, look to the truth of what God has to say, you know, I think they're going to have their eyes open just a little bit, because God explains what's going to happen, so it's not so mysterious. In Ecclesiastes, there's an interesting passage that says, what happens to the sons of men also happens to animals. You begin to think about that. Well, how are men like animals? And God goes on to say, surely they all have one breath. Man has no advantage over the animals. It's all vanity. All go to one place, and all are made from the dust and return to dust. And you have to step back a minute and say, well, wait a second, what is that all about? You know, I'm much better than animals. I'm going to heaven, right? Or maybe, you know, we don't want to talk about going to the other place, right? But God says, you know, we don't have an advantage. In fact, Ecclesiastes 9:5, it says, the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing. So here we have God inspiring Solomon to tell us something about what happens when we die. It tells us we're like the animals. We're not going to know anything. We're going to be dead. So the person who dies is unconscious. They're unaware. They're not floating around somewhere looking down, or on the other hand, down there somewhere looking up.
Now, you're talking about human beings and animals. That brings up a totally different sort of subject, but it's tied in. There's a lot of people, especially with New Age, the New Age movement, and of course Hinduism, believes that a person is reincarnated. So you may come back as an animal next time. Or, so there really is no difference between human beings and animals, because we sort of skip through this hierarchy to finally we obtain some reward. Can reincarnation be an explanation of what happens biblically?
Yeah, people explain it that way, but biblically, you look to the Word of God, it doesn't say that at all. It's just not there. Right back at the beginning of the Bible, Genesis 2:16, God says to Adam and Eve, right off the bat, at the beginning of the creation of mankind, He tells them, well, you can eat anything in the garden, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, He says, don't eat it. And what does He tell them then? He says, if you do, you'll surely die. And the interesting part about that is what happens right after that then. Mm-hmm. Right after that, of course, Satan comes along, the serpent comes, and is going to tell him the very first lie that's recorded in the Bible. And what's the first lie? It's an amazing thing.
You're right.
He tells him, hey, you won't die. Don't believe what God says. You won't surely die. And so it's interesting that that was the first thing that Satan attacked, was the truth about what happens after death. God said, you will die, and Satan said, no, you're not going to die. So God basically said, you're mortal, you're physical, and you will die. Satan contradicted God, said exactly the opposite. And so what is so amazing to me is that rather than look to what God says, people seem to be more willing to believe Satan's lie.
You know, when you look at the Old Testament, there's a book that I find fascinating that a lot of people don't even read, don't even realize it's there. It's the book of Job. And Job contains a couple of passages that talk about, well, he questions what happens to you. One of my favorite passages, I'll just read it to you, Job 14:12. He says, man comes forth like a flower and fades away. He flees like a shadow, does not continue. Since his days are determined, the number of his months is with you, talking about God. You have appointed his limits so that he cannot pass. But man dies and is laid away. Indeed, he breathes his last. And then he asks, and where is he? As water disappears from the sea, and as a river becomes parched and dries up, so man lies down and does not rise till the heavens are no more. They will not awake nor be roused from their sleep. I mean, that's remarkable, his understanding of death. And he's asking the same questions we are, thousands of years ago.
Right.
But his understanding is that it's sleep.
He, in a sense, answers his own question.
Right.
He says, oh, it's like sleeping. Just like we talked about Ecclesiastes, when you're dead, you know nothing. And so here Job backs that same thing up by saying the same thing. In fact, it seems that throughout the Bible, death is compared to sleep. Daniel said much the same thing. The prophet Daniel, chapter 12 and verse 2, he said, many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. So he compares death. He says some to everlasting life, some to everlasting contempt. So Daniel does the same thing. He talks about death as sleep. And so there's an interesting aspect of that, because I suppose there's a little bit of a paradox in the way some people would look at that. Well, how could people who died and they're asleep be looking down from heaven? It doesn't fit with what the Bible has to say. So if you believe that and you believe the Bible, well, what is it really saying? Then I have to justify, well, here's what I believe, but here's what the Bible really says. And then we're kind of caught in a bind. Which is it? It seems that you better stick with what the Word actually says.
Well, okay, then. But we know we've stuck with the Old Testament.
Yeah.
And in almost all Protestant, Catholic scholars agree that the Old Testament does not contain explicit teaching about an immortal soul. So, okay, do we have to go to the New Testament? Is that where the Christians find, okay, we do have an immortal soul because it was taught by Jesus or the apostles?
Mm-hmm. And see, that's one of the difficulties, I think, that we face, is we have to say, okay, is the whole Bible God's Word? Is that the truth of God, the whole Bible? And sometimes it's nice to kind of say, well, that old stuff is old and I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to worry about what Christ did and the apostles after him did. And so even if you tried to throw out the Old Testament, which we shouldn't, there's amazing things that are said even in the New Testament, right at the very beginning of the church, right at the beginning of the book of Acts, where the church began. Peter is trying to explain what's going on when they were given the Holy Spirit. Spirit because they're hearing all these different languages and all that sort of thing. And he makes a couple of interesting observations as he tells everybody what's going on. And he tells them, he says, look, here's what's happening. Acts chapter 2 and verse 29. He says, let me tell you about David, the patriarch. So he's going to tell them about King David. He says he's both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. And so, where's David? Is he looking down from heaven? Well, everybody knows, well, David, it says in the Bible, he's a man after God's own heart. So, he's got to be in heaven.
If anyone would be in heaven, it's David.
Well, absolutely. Okay. So, why is David dead and buried then? Why doesn't he say, well, David's looking down on us and, you know, he's with us, but he doesn't say that. In fact, he goes on, verse 34, he says, David has not ascended to heaven. So he very specifically draws it out. If there was any doubt of what he was talking about, he spells it out very plainly. And so here you have God the Father, Jesus Christ, certainly in heaven. David's got to be there. But Paul says, no, he's not. He's dead. He's, well, what Daniel said. He's sleeping. He's like Job said. He's waiting. He's resting for the moment.
Is there somebody in heaven?
Well, you got God the Father and Jesus Christ. But other than that,
so there is someone who has died and goes to heaven.
Only the one, right? Only the one that led the way for the rest of us to be able to have that opportunity in the future.
In fact, Peter says it.
He does. Absolutely.
The only person that's died and gone to heaven is Jesus Christ. That's different. That's different than what you've been taught. If you're interested in this subject, you can do your own personal study. This booklet will help you go through the Bible, explore the scriptures, and see what the Bible really says.
Why does modern Christianity teach that you have an immortal soul that has eternally existed when Jesus taught the opposite, that you don't have an eternal soul and can be dead forever? Find out the astonishing true teachings about life after death in our free 64-page booklet, What Happens After Death? Call 1-800-966-9232. Most of Christianity says you will go to either heaven or hell, while Jesus never said any such thing. Call now 1-800-966-9232 for your free booklet, What Happens After Death. See the hundreds of scriptures never quoted by most religions today. They reveal a picture unlike what most have come to believe about life after death. There is no cost or obligation. Call right now for your free copy of What Happens After Death. 1-800-966-9232.
We're talking to Steve Myers, and we've been talking about the state of the dead, what the Old Testament teaches. Mm-hmm. And I don't think there's anyone in the Bible, or in the New Testament, that talks more about the state of the dead than the Apostle Paul. And he makes a lot of very interesting comments. In 1 Corinthians, he says, "For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep." In another place in the same book, he says, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." So here's the mystery. It's sleep. Explain the mystery.
Yeah, it is interesting. We're almost back to what we were talking about in the Old Testament.
Exactly.
That you are a nephesh. You are a soul. You don't have a soul. And the soul dies, like God told Adam and Eve. And Paul compares that over and over again in the New Testament. 1 Thessalonians 4:13, Paul says the same thing to the church at Thessalonica. He says, "I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep." So he's talking about those that have died, because then he goes on and says, "Lest you sorrow as others who have no hope." And so he tells them, you know, there's something more. There's something more here. He says, "If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus." So here we find Paul describing death as an unconscious state that's just like sleep. And so he's using that same analogy. The question then is really, when are we changed? You know, when does that change come, you know, take place? Because people will say, well, we go to heaven immediately when we die. But Paul is not saying that. He compares this to this unconscious state of sleep. But then he points out that we're mortal. That we're mortal, we're destructible, and we have to wait to put on the everlasting. You were reading a little bit from 1 Corinthians.
Yes.
And he goes on in verse 53 in that chapter. Sometimes they call it the resurrection chapter.
1 Corinthians 15.
15, right. And he says, "This corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality." And so we're not immortal. We're not an immortal soul. We don't have an immortal soul. We have to wait to put that on, and that comes at the return of Jesus Christ, or if we're dead, when Christ returns.
Now, you said hope. You said change. If you read through this and we don't start talking about that, there can almost be this hopelessness.
Right.
You know, does it mean that we're all nephesh? we all die, and that's the end of it. And of course, if for many non-Christians, that's all life is. We look at certain scriptures. John talked about how no one has ascended into heaven except Jesus Christ. But there's also comments that, like Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, where he talks about in Adam all die,
right,
but in Christ all are made alive. So there's, we're not talking about sort of eternal non-existence then. There's
right.
something else beyond.
Yeah, it almost sounds like it could be depressing.
Right.
Well, this is all there is. Might as well, you know,
then
get everything
has
I can.
No meaning.
Exactly. Right. And so then, you know, people say, well, what happens? Well, that's the great part. God has a plan. There's a plan to our life. There's a plan for what God has in mind. And it's more than what's going on right now. It's more than what's temporary. It's more than what's just physical. In fact, you had read from Job earlier. Job said, chapter 14, verse 14, he said, if a man dies, will he live again? So he lays it right on the line there. And what does he say? He says, all my hard days of service, I'll wait till my change comes. You will call and I will answer you. So here you have a great indication what's happening. God says, we have a physical, temporary life now, but we have the potential to live forever in the kingdom of God. So it's amazing when you look at all the philosophies of the world. Science says, well, maybe you'll live again. Philosophy says, oh, I hope. Oh, that would be wonderful if we could live again. And then, you know, you look at ethics. Well, man is basically good. We ought to live again. You know, and so you go down the line. Atheism says, no, we're not ever going to live again. But Christ himself said, you shall live again. So we have a hope with the plan of God and what he reveals in his word. I mean, you don't have to believe what we're talking about. Get the Bible out. Look really what it says. And that's what it says. We have that opportunity that he will resurrect us from the grave.
You know, and you said get the Bible out. And I want to encourage to go to 1 Corinthians 15. It's outlined there. It's told when these events will happen. I mean, Paul is very clear in that chapter. He even describes a little bit what it's like in that resurrection. He says in verse 51, behold, I tell you a mystery. We're back to this mystery. Here's the understanding of it.
Yes.
We shall not all sleep or die, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Now, so when you look at it then, if a person dies, we were, okay, what happens to them between that point and this time when they are conscious? We don't have to worry about that. Because
right.
if they are asleep, there is no suffering. No one has to worry that their father or mother is somehow in hell right now being tortured. There is no consciousness between this point and this point, correct?
Absolutely. And that's the great part. Because they're awaiting. Just like you read, they're awaiting that time. We are made of dust. We return to the dust. In fact, that's what Paul says
right.
in 1 Corinthians 15. That's what's going to happen, just like God told Adam and Eve. It's all that flowing plan. And we have to wait to that time that we can put on immortality when Jesus Christ returns. So at the end of our physical life, that's when we have that opportunity. Then we die, and then later the resurrection. And the resurrection is that time then we do put on immortality. When Christ returns, then Paul, what he said, this mortal will put on immortality. Because then it makes sense that when he said flesh and blood can't inherit the kingdom of God. And so if you're in Christ, if you're called, if you've answered, if you've repented, you've changed your life, you've been baptized, you're led by God, you're transformed, then you have an opportunity then when Christ returns to be glorified like Jesus Christ when he returns.
Now, Jesus Christ returning. This resurrection takes place. The resurrection takes place. There's a change. The person no longer has this physical body. They have a spirit body. Now, does everybody go with Christ to heaven? Is that what happens?
Well, that's kind of interesting as well. We assume those kinds of things because those are the things we've heard for years and years, and that's what, you know, common religion would teach on those things. But in actuality, when you read what the Bible says, it talks about the fact that we will return here with Christ, that we'll meet him in the air, but that we'll return to the earth. And it says the meek will inherit the earth. So obviously we'll have that opportunity to rule with Christ. He'll set up his rule on the earth, and we'll have that opportunity, you know, if we're there at the resurrection, to be with him, and we'll have that opportunity to rule with Christ than on the earth.
The truth is more incredible than you and I can think. And some of what is taught in mainstream Christianity isn't always exactly what the Bible says. That's why you need to get your copy of What Happens After Death. I want to thank Steve Myers for being with us, and appreciate you being on the show with us.
It's good to be here.
Death has always been our enemy. It brings loneliness, sadness, and disorientation. But it needs not be a mystery, nor be entirely devastating, even though it is inevitable. Death is not the end. It may seem unfair and arbitrary, yet it does not thwart God's plan for eternal life. Through a resurrection, God will reunite us with family and friends and extend His promises to everyone who has ever lived. And that's the good news.
Why were you born? Well, there's a big difference between grasping the future God wants for you and simply going on the way you have been. The choice is up to you. Join us next time when we continue to explore what the Bible really says about you and your future. For Good News Radio, I'm Gary Petty.
What happens after death? This is one of the great questions of life. What happens when we die? Is death the end of human existence and consciousness? Or do we continue in some other place or state of being? Call right now, 1-800-966-9232, for our free booklet titled, What Happens After Death? There is no cost or obligation. Call 1-800-966-9232 for your copy. Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The number again is 1-800-966-9232. Or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org. You've been listening to the Good News Radio program, presented by the publishers of the Good News magazine. We seek the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. To receive your free copy of the literature offered on today's program, please call toll-free 1-800-966-9232. There is absolutely no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232.